91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio. Hello, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today on KXCI, where our community stays in touch, and you are our community. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. Today, we're lucky enough to bring Nanette Robinson, Artistic Director of Zuzi Dance. Nanette is always doing new and interesting things, and we get to hear about them today. So, Aspen, tell us about Nanette.
I sure will. Nanette Robinson, choreographer, somatic educator, and dancer, is Zuzi's dance co-founder and artistic director. She holds a BFA in dance from Temple University. Nanette is an introductory and ongoing certified instructor of Skinner Releasing Technique and a certified yoga instructor. Nanette has been strongly influenced by the somatic practice of releasing and Alexander techniques over the years. One of her mentors, Liz Lerman, Dance Exchange, has informed the company's visionary approach in relationship with multi-generational dancers and community outreach with non-dancers. She is thrilled to be part of Zuzi, which is in its 25th year. It has been her home and artistic toolbox for creating dances, teaching and working with all levels, abilities, and ages of dance and movement lovers. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Aspen and Kathy. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yes. So the first question I would like to ask is about you personally, so our audience can get to know you a little bit. When did you begin your dance career? And were you dancing as a child? Did you start learning early?
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia. I did begin to take ballet. My mother sent me to classes once a week, and I liked it. And then I let it go. And I went through high school and I took a break from high school and worked a few years and went back to community college. And I really didn't have a direction. And I found out about the Temple University's audition for modern dance. And I'd never heard of modern dance, but I decided to go anyway. And it changed my life. I have to say, dance changed my life. I had the most fun rolling and jumping, and just it was so different from ballet, and it really resonated with who I was or who I was going to become as a mover. And then I just immersed myself in that form, and Temple is an amazing college. There's lots of research, even back in the 80s, that was researching movement and its healing qualities. So that's how I started. And that is also where I met Nancy Mellon, who fast forward maybe 15 years, 20 years later, we reconnected in Tucson just as a fluke.
Oh, that's interesting. How did you get to Tucson? What made you come here?
After I left Philadelphia, I traveled to Colorado, lived there for a while. I was studying Tai Chi intensively at Naropa. Okay. And that's also where I met one of my mentors, Barbara Dealey, who was at that time one of the innovators for transformative dance in New York City, Judson Theater. And she also was a meditator and eventually became the head of Naropa. At that time, she was just experimenting with a lot of her own improvisational skills and developing this pedagogy. I was fortunate enough to take classes with her, and it took me on this journey from modern, but also into more improvisational structures and playfulness. And then I journeyed to Seattle, and that's where I met Joan Skinner.
Tell us about the Alexander technique. Where did it originate?
It's actually originated in England. It's primarily for theater actors. Joan, though, integrated it into her pedagogy, her practice. So that was more my influence, although okay. I studied Alexander.
So I met you many years ago through the Orts Theater of Dance. You were one of the dancers in that company, and I know you've done other work since then before creating Zuzi. But what inspired you to start your own dance company?
Honestly, it wasn't me. It was Nancy Mellon. So I've been in Tucson, not dancing with Orts anymore, although my mentor, Robert Davidson, who was also her aerial, he was my Skinner mentor. Anyhow, going back to your question, Nancy Mellon moved to Tucson, and I was teaching in the Tucson community independently, doing some choreography, but mostly teaching. And she came to one of my classes, and she had a great desire to start a company. I basically told her she was crazy because that's a lot of work.
Yes, I would think that would be a lot of work.
But we embarked in this journey together, and it just had so much momentum.
It had a life of its own.
We did audition that first year, people. We were down in the old Zenith building, which is across the street from Antigone's, hung some trapezes because I had been practicing aerial with Orts, but also during my training as a releasing facilitator,
Who was your teacher for aerial dancing?
Robert Davidson was my teacher, and he was also the person who brought aerial to Orts. And so concurrently, all of the releasing that I learned was integrated into the aerial practice.
Okay, I remember him, and I remember Orts Theater of Dance doing aerial dance with Annie Bunker and you guys, yes. So that's how you got introduced to aerial dance. So can you give us a little bit of what Zuzi is about? What's its mission and vision? What makes it different from other dance companies?
Zuzi wants to go beyond the traditional boundaries to serve a more diverse range of individuals in movement. So, as we started brainstorming about the organization, Nancy had a strong vision of community. She was influenced by Liz Lerman, which later on we did workshops together with Liz. So, that is her community-based. Taking movement and dance into the community and integrating it into all ages, all abilities, so that it fosters a more inclusive environment.
Yeah, I mean, that's really different because I remember the dance culture in New York City where I grew up, where you had to be tall and thin, and they kind of starved their dancers, you know, that culture. So this is very different because you have dancers from 7 years old to 90 years old. And I know you embrace dancers of all backgrounds, ages, and sizes, orientations, abilities. So I'd love to hear more about all the different ways that you are inclusive. Was this part of your original idea when you started Zuzi?
I mean, for me, it's so rewarding to just see how the language of movement is so authentic and real. And for people that have never met each other and have a lot of insecurities, there's so many insecurities about us in this culture as movers. Oh, I'm not a dancer, so I can't move. But we were all born with this natural grace to move. We lose it as we get into habitual patterns of stress or tension.
Unfortunately, I think we lose our spontaneity and we get more inhibited, maybe more self-conscious as we get older.
So that's also an element of what I hope that I can impart as a facilitator. That people can find more ease and freedom in their body, and also without the pressure of conventional group settings. So there's a perception of one safety when you enter into the classroom or into the studio. You're going to be met at where you are, and also to let go of a lot of the judgment that we have about ourselves in relationship to our bodies. I like to encourage people to just connect to their movement quality so that they don't have that stigma of dancer. Now, we also work with professional dancers. So when we first created the vision of Zuzi, we were wanting a few components. We wanted the community component, which was just all ages, anybody. And then we also wanted to have a professional component so that we could really delve deeper into choreography with professional dancers as well, and then seeing if we could integrate the two. And then running a theater was this third component that we could reach out into the community, have a space for other dancers and independent artists to come in and have a kind of a playground to explore. That was our beginning of the organization and the mission.
So, how does it work in your organization? Who decides the repertoire and who creates the choreography?
Good question. I do most of the choreography for the community workshopping, and I usually envision. So, if we're speaking about the solstice, which is coming up next weekend, there's always a theme for solstice, and it has to do around shadow and light. And this year's is the symbolism of trees.
That works for me, considering my name.
We don't realize it, but when we walk out into nature, at least for me, when I walk out into nature and I walk among trees, even big bushes or just the beauty of nature, I feel very connected. It's just like a tree is so rooted. It helps me tap into my own personal roots, feel like I can breathe more, and I just feel integrated. I feel integrated. And so it relates to what we want to impart as movers of the body, mind, spirit integration. And that's healing
So I
to me.
know that doing solstice shows is kind of like your signature. You've done them many years in a row. Who are your guest artists for the event? Can you tell us a little bit more about what we can expect?
Yes, absolutely. So we're using the multifaceted symbol of trees, their strength, individuality, and interconnectedness. And we'll invoke these themes, hopefully, in the show. One of the great gifts of Zuzi is we reach out into the other dance community, and I send a proposal about the theme, and I invite other guest artists in the community if they can kind of bring their own sensibilities of the theme to the show, which is creates more diversity. And sometimes with a company, and if you have one director, the theme can get redundant, I feel. And so to bring other groups in to have a shared vision, but their own way of viewing that really lends for a wider perspective.
Who did you collaborate with for this production?
So this year, I try to really invite musicians to collaborate. This year, I'm so happy. Mark Holdaway is going to be performing with Andrea Gudrun, both who have long-standing relationship to the Tucson community. They're a part of Baba Marimba, but they also apparently they were in the first band together. So they're going to be a part of the show. We'll open up the show with a few songs, and Andrea and Mark will play intermittently throughout the evening for some of the dances. So we're in rehearsal now, and my way of working with musicians is it's like a symbiosis, as if it were like a tree in a way, because they get to see what we're doing and they bring what their intuition.
So they bring their own music to it. So kind of like an improv kind of.
Exactly. But everything's set. But yes, there's also that improvisational element. So they're the two musicians that are going to be a part of the show. And then there is this wonderful dance company who we share this space with, named 520 Dance Company. And we have been doing a lot together. I mean, we share the space together, and they have been a part of the solstice for the last 4 years.
Okay, so we're going to talk more about this and maybe some more about Zuzi in general, but we're going to take a music break right now. And when we come back, we'll talk more.
Okay, thank you.
We are going to take a music break, and Nanette has chosen a very lovely song. It's called Red Virgin Soil, and it's by Agnes Obel. Do you want to tell us something about why you chose this song, Nanette?
It is one of the songs I'm using for the community dance piece. I find her music very inspiring. It is an instrumental. It has just a wonderful, uplifting, moving quality to it.
It really does. And I could see dancers as I was listening to it.
Oh.
So let me just talk a little bit about the person who wrote this. Agnes Obel is a 44-year-old Danish singer-songwriter and musician based in Berlin. At the age of 31, she released her first album called Philharmonics, and she won 5 prizes for it at the Danish Music Awards, including Best Album and Best Debut Artist. Now, the song we're going to play, Red Virgin Soil, is from her third album, Citizen of Glass. It received the Impala Album of the Year Award in 2016. Obel learned to play the piano at a very young age, and she said, "I had a classical piano teacher who told me that I shouldn't play what I didn't like, so I just played what I liked. I was never forced to play anything else." Wow, we should all have such music teachers, eh? She attended high school where she was able to play a good deal of music. However, she quickly dropped out of school, and she explains, "At 17, I met a man who was running a studio. I gave up quickly my musical studies to learn sound techniques." How interesting. Obel is influenced by artists such as, and this surprised me, Roy Orbison, and also by the French composers Claude Debussy, Maurice Ravel, and Erik Satie. She also likes Edgar Allan Poe and Nina Simone. Well, she has a very diverse and very good taste. So let's listen to Red Virgin Soil by Agnes Obel from her album Citizen of Glass. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Broad Perspectives Radio, and we're returning to our interview with Nanette Robinson of Zuzi Dance.
That was really beautiful. I can actually see, Nanette, you putting a dance together for that music. It's really beautiful. So let's first start with the partnership that you have with Mariana de la Vega Art Gallery. And how will Zuzi be participating in their exhibition?
So the last year, we have performed at some of their gallery events. We performed at the Dios de los Muertos gallery event, and we also performed at Desert Dreams, a gallery event she had. And I found that her mission is very similar to ours. She wants to support artists that are unknown. She has a lot of enthusiasm. She is also a teacher, has been involved with a lot of healing in her artwork, and it just seemed like we really resonated. So, because it's our 25th year, we brainstormed that perhaps we could, in conjunction with the show, have a gallery exhibit of trees, different aspects of trees. And so that's what's happening. So, on Saturday is our opening reception. And Zuzi will be bringing one performance to this opening reception. It goes from 4 to 7 in the evening on Saturday, and Zuzi will be performing around 5:30. So please come on down and see some of the artwork that's being presented, and come down and see us perform an excerpt from Solstice. Yeah, the exhibit will be run through December 27th, and I believe the gallery's open from 11 to 3 every day, except for Christmas. So you can come down, you could just check out the gallery. She's located at Prince and Campbell on the southeast side, right behind the gas station there. And it's a small studio. And originally, DiGrazia was there. That was the same area where DiGrazia's
That's
studio.
right. That's right. Oh, how lovely for me. I could walk there.
I live really close to
What are some of the main challenges in sustaining a dance company? How do you fund your performances? Do you work with sponsors or corporate partners?
Yes, occasionally we will have someone sponsor in part our Solstice show because it's a pretty big budget to run the show. Zuzi wants to pay the dancers fairly, I guess, in the dance world, it could be a good wage. Also, we have a light and sound designer that is paid. The budget gets kind of big, especially renting the space and all the time. This year, we do have a sculptor who is bringing, as the show's called Pillars of Light, that came from a Mary Oliver poem.
I love Mary Oliver.
And it was the inspiration for me to build onto the show. And she has this one line in her poem, "Look at the trees are turning their bodies into pillars of light." I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have some pillars on stage with light in them? So we've been busily constructing these pillars through the vision of this woman in town. Her name's Jessica Lansden. Her daughter takes aerial class. Going back to your question, we do receive grant money from Arizona Commission on the Arts and from the Arts Foundation of Southern Arizona. Not every year, but probably every other year. We do hold a fundraiser every year, although during the pandemic, we didn't. But this last year, we had our first fundraiser in 4 years with Baba Marimba, and it was at the Sonoran Co-housing outside. It was about 107 degrees. It was very hot, but
Well, hopefully it was successful.
it was really a great event. So that is some of the ways. Last year we did a GoFundMe and we raised quite a few thousand dollars to keep us going. And
Okay.
then of course classes
I
help.
was going to say your workshops and classes, I would think that would be part of your main
Yes.
income.
Yes. Before when we ran Zuzi, we also received lots of rent from the theater groups that would come in to rent.
Yes, at Arizona Arts Live, we rented rehearsal space from you for touring artists.
I mean, we were very busy. We were always renting in order to survive in the theater. So this is nice because when we're focused on our mission and we do a lot of outside collaboration. I'm working with the JCC to do the closing of their film festival at JCC. We, of course, collaborate with Mariana de la Vega. We are performing at the Tucson Book Festival. And these are our community groups that are performing, and sometimes the more professional dancers. We like to mix it up.
I'm going to assume that you are open to having volunteers. Do you depend on
Yes.
volunteers? And
No.
if somebody wanted to volunteer, what kinds of jobs would they have, and where can they go to sign up to volunteer?
You can go right to our webpage, which is zuzimoveit.org. That's also where you would donate, purchase tickets, and check out what classes we're offering. There is a sign up where you can say, "Hey, I'd like to volunteer." And our marketing person by the name of Leah Herring, who's a young student at the U of A, will reach out to you. And right now we are looking for a few volunteers for Solstice. It's project driven, the volunteering. So when we're doing events, we have an event coming up, our No Frills Have a Heart dance happening at our studio in February. And then we're also doing a spring show at the Valley of the Moon outside
Oh,
in.
I love the Valley of the Moon. I haven't been there in years. That's awesome. So tell us once more about the 25th anniversary, winter solstice, Pillars of Light. What's the date? Where do we go? How do we get tickets?
The dates are December 20th and 21st, Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Scoundrel and Scamp Theater, located in the historic Y at Fifth Avenue and University. You can go right to our website and purchase tickets online. Just click on the poster, the flyer, and it will give you all the details. And then you just can pay online.
And it's a great website because I was going through your website and I realized that you give aerial parties. Somebody can have a birthday party and have an aerial birthday party. And I was just, whoa, that's great. I know that you can do it for events as well. So people really need to go on there because it talks all about your classes, your workshops, upcoming events, a little bit about all of you. It's a wonderful website. I suggest people go take a look at it. Thanks so much, Nanette, for being on our show. And we're so glad to hear about this. I'm looking forward to this event. It sounds wonderful. It sounds like the perfect collaboration between music and dance. So thanks again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and have a beautiful holiday.
Well, and I just want to say that, Aspen, take note, I want an aerial birthday party next year.
Well, I was planning that. That's
Yeah.
why I said that.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. But Nanette Robinson, we're so happy to have a chance to talk to you about Zuzi Dance and catch up with all of your activities. You're involved in so many interesting things, and you bring such beautiful art to our community. We really appreciate you so much. And thanks to all of you out there for listening today. We appreciate you too, more than you can know. Right now, though, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.